Good morning. I'm Tim Bruno. Welcome to the Culture Club. Happiness is something we all seek, but for some, it can be elusive. So what if you could learn to be happy? What if you could take a happiness class? Well, don't worry. Be happy. You can. Nick Rose is the author of several best-selling books and has taught at Brown University and Marist College. He's teaching How to Be Happy classes at the Artists Market in Chihola, Pennsylvania. Nick, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Can you really teach happiness?
I think you can. A lot of people don't realize that happiness is actually a choice, and so they don't try to be happy. But there's some very simple things that you can do to make yourself happier. Most people say, I want to be happy, but my goldfish died, or I want to be happy, but it's raining outside and I wanted to go on a picnic. So what you're really saying is, are you willing to be happy as long as goldfish never die and never rains? So we try to help you get the but out of that sentence in the class.
If happiness is a choice, then why do you think everyone doesn't choose to be happy?
If that were the only choice, I'm sure people would say, I choose to be happy. But that people don't realize that the choices they make every day, all the little choices, add up to happiness or unhappiness. So they have to go back a little ways to start making different choices that will add up to happiness.
So in your classes, How to Be Happy at the Artist Market in Chihola, you say those courses are more practical than philosophical. How so?
Right. I'm not a guru or anything like that. We'll never say happiness is a deep well. It's just things that are practical that you can do, how to turn complaints into goals, how to look at things a little bit differently, practical ways to break habits and make better habits, things like that that really are down to earth and almost everyone can do.
Do you think that that suffering is a way that people become a better person, perhaps?
No, I think that's one of the things that is an obstacle to happiness. People say, oh, well, I suffered, and so I learned from that, or I suffered. But that's one of the most cockamamie ideas I've ever heard in my life, because you can learn from joy and delight much more than you can learn from suffering. And suffering only tells you what you don't like and what's wrong. So what people miss usually is the very special kind of person that they are. So they say, I had this experience and I suffered and I handled it this way and I'm a better person now. But really, they were the better person before, because you can always point to people who had that same experience and didn't handle it as well or did much worse.
So they hold on to the suffering more.
Yeah, the suffering is not an ingredient of happiness.
Right. And you say it's irrelevant if you're unhappy. It doesn't really matter why you're unhappy.
Right. If you go to a psychiatrist and say, I'm depressed, you only learn where the psychiatrist went to school. So if you go to a feminist psychiatrist, she's going to say, oh, you're depressed because of the inequality of a male-dominated society. If you go to focused one, he'll say, oh, it's because of a chemical imbalance in your brain. If you go to a cognitive therapist, he'll say, oh, it's because you have inappropriate thoughts in your head. If you go to a psychodynamic therapist, was your potty training? That's why you're depressed. And all these things might have a little bit to do with it, but why you're depressed has no, that's not what you really want to know. You want to know how to be happy. When you're lost, you never roll down the window and say, excuse me, can you tell me how I got here? You always ask for how can I get to where I want to be. That's the relevant information. So it doesn't matter how you got lost or why you're depressed.
So what are the basic ingredients of happiness?
The research, there's a whole body of research, positive psychology, that we're learning about now, the ingredients of happiness. And connection with other human beings is surely one. It's not money. People are bad at guessing what makes them happy. Lots of times they pick things that don't last. And what we're finding, that if you focus on experiences, you'll be happier than if you focus on material things. Say you buy a pair of shoes, that will make you the happiest the first day that you have them. And then every day after that, they'll make you a little bit less happy. But if you spend your money on an experience, the way our brains work, it gets better and better in your mind over time. So that's another thing.
Because you're remembering back to the experience.
Right, and you have it with you forever.
I think that when someone talks about classes for how to be happy or how to attain happiness, they might approach it from the way that they were approaching things in school. It's a test, or it's a piece of paper with things to memorize or learn. Is that the case in your classes?
One of the ways to be happy is to separate your performance from happiness. Like, you separate happiness from outcomes. So your goals are ones that you can really control. Not I'm going to win the lottery, not I'm going to be famous, but I'm going to spend my life as an actor. If nobody sees me or not, it doesn't matter.
Right. And how are the classes structured? What do you do? Is it a weekly basis? Is it a monthly
basis?
There's
eight classes once a week, and they basically have different topics for each class, but a lot of it is based on who happens to attend. So we are very flexible and can focus on the people who are there, and it's always fun, and it's always different every time because of the different people who come. And they almost always give too much credit to me because they have everything they needed when they came in the door. Mm-hmm. And they sometimes they cry at the end of the 8 weeks. They say that their life has been changed, but really, that means I didn't do as good a job as I should have. If they leave saying I'm a wonderful person, then I did a good job. If they say, "Oh, Nick, you're so smart," then I fail them in some kind of a way.
Is the class structured in the where you're sort of lecturing to them, or is it a conversation among the group of
more
folks
conversation
that have attended?
The lecturing usually will introduce a topic and see what other people's thoughts are on it. And I think it's such a good class because I've learned from everybody who's come there. So it's not a good class because I knew everything when I started it. I think it's gotten to be a better and better class through all the people who've come.
How's the reaction been? How has it been with people that have? You said that people have come and they've enjoyed it and they've come out of it in a positive light. Overall, have you felt like you've had a positive reaction to the How to Be Happy classes?
Yes, I like the reaction before they come even better though, because usually the reaction is, "What kind of a fathead is going to teach a class about how to be happy?" And that's really great. I like that because that's what I would be thinking if I went to a class like that. And then it's really not that way when you get there. It's not that I have this knowledge and I'm going to pour it into your heads. It's more I can open up what's inside you already.
And how do you do that? What is your background that allows you to do that? I mean, we mentioned that you are an author and you've taught some classes at several colleges. What's the background that allows you to help unlock that?
I worked for 29 years as executive director of a laboratory for happiness. It's called New Hope Manor in Barrieville, New York. It's a substance abuse treatment center for women.